This is KLJR News Director Joshua Dixon. There's been much talk in Minnesota about a surge in COVID-19 cases and about healthcare facilities and staff being stressed by demand. By some metrics, Redwood County has been one of the sixth worst in the state for new COVID-19 cases this past week. On Wednesday, I spoke with Carney Alex, administrator of Caris Health Redwood, about how the surge is playing out in the Redwood area and about how Caris Health's hospital and clinic are dealing with the stress.
Are you actually seeing a surge in this area?
Yes, we are seeing a surge in Redwood County, in the central and southwest region of the state, and here in Redwood with our hospitalizations. Per the MDH website, Redwood County reported 31 positive cases today, 622 total since the pandemic started. I think a pertinent statistic is that more than 25% of the total positive cases in Redwood County across the pandemic have been recorded in the previous week, this past week. So a significant growth rate. NPR News reported today that Redwood County is in the top six Minnesota counties in the state for the fastest per capita COVID-19 case growth in the past 3 days. Specifically here at the hospital here in Redwood, our daily census is currently triple that of our average. So not just with COVID patients, but patients needing other types of care. However, of our current patients, nearly 40% of them are COVID positive. Yep, with all of those things combined, we are definitely seeing a surge here locally. The clinic is certainly seeing a large uptick in its acute respiratory clinic volumes as well as its curbside testing volumes. The second part of your question was, what are we here in Redwood doing to manage this surge? Is we're continuing to work with our staff, trying our best to keep everyone healthy and working, asking staff to pick up additional shifts, work more hours, pulling staff where we can into supporting acute care or curbside testing. As a region, we are working together to deal with this surge in patients. For instance, there have been multiple times in the past 2 to 3 weeks that here in Redwood, we have accepted admissions from Rice Hospital in Willmar because there were patients in their ED that they could not, who needed admission, who they could not place in Willmar. And so they were looking to us and other facilities in the region to accept admissions.
When you talk about there being a huge surge in cases in the area, you can look at it two ways. On the one hand, it's something to be aware of and alarmed about, and yet, at the same time, that doesn't mean that anyone who gets it is automatically going to wind up in the hospital and such. And so it's not a death sentence, and yet there's a whole lot of scare going on out there. How many people approximately are just going to recover, be completely asymptomatic, and not even know they had it? And how many people might just have the equivalent of a bad cold or flu for a few days and get better? And so you want to take it seriously, but at the same time, you don't want to exaggerate the fears. Does that make sense?
I understand what you're saying. I can't quote statistics off the top of my head of how many people are asymptomatic and are positive currently. The statistic I have heard that is concerning to me is that, two statistics, 8 to 10% of patients who test positive will end up being admitted to a hospital. That's concerning as we see the positive case numbers rising. That means that in the next 2 to 3 weeks, we are going to see an increase in hospitalizations. So hospitalizations are likely not to level off anytime soon. The other concerning statistic is the positivity rate. If you may recall, one of the dial-back measures or metrics was we were going to be concerned if the positivity rate in the state was above 5%.
Mm-hmm.
In the Caris network of facilities, we are seeing a 25 to 30% positivity rate currently. And again, that's very concerning. It shows the virus is very widespread throughout our communities.
Do you know offhand, can you give a rough idea of the people who do test positive and have to be coming in for medical treatment of some sort, how many have to stay at the hospital as inpatient, and how many are can handle their treatments on an outpatient basis at home, say, during under quarantine?
I would go back to that statistic where I guess I can't answer that, Josh.
Okay.
For the patients who present here in Redwood, how many are sent home versus hospitalized?
And so as far as how your staff is dealing, do you have staff people who are, say, under quarantine right now, and are you having a worker shortage of any sort?
Yes, the pandemic or the coronavirus does not exclude people who are healthcare workers or other type of essential workers. So as the positivity rate and the cases go up in the community, our healthcare workers aren't exempt from that. We're continuing to see a higher number of our workforce be out because of illness or because of quarantine, and that could be the fact that they are starting to show symptoms or they have had an exposure to somebody who's positive. Most often in the community setting, it is very rare that we have somebody in our healthcare team who is exposed and becomes ill because of their work. It's almost always in the community where they're getting exposed.
In terms of your staff, the people who actually work with the patients, the on a day-to-day basis, like the physicians or the nurses or the nurse practitioners, have you had any that have tested positive and had to do quarantining? And if a situation like that happens, how does the rest of the staff work around that?
We've had employees of all types, I would say, test positive over the course of the pandemic. Because we are using our personal protective equipment, such as N95s or face masks as appropriate, face shields, eye protection, if a coworker tested positive and the employees around them were wearing the appropriate PPE, that does not count as an exposure, and the other staff would not have to be quarantined. Again, that just shows the effectiveness of masks, that they do work, and our staff are not getting ill because they're taking care of COVID-positive patients. They're getting exposed in the community, perhaps from someone in their household who becomes ill.
I hear what you're saying. I'm going to clarify the question I was asking is, say, say a doctor does test positive and has to go into quarantine for 2 weeks. In terms of the work schedules, do other physicians jump in and take that doctor's workload for a while?
Yes. Yeah, so if we have employees that become positive or have to quarantine, now the rest of the staff has to jump in and pick up, and our staff have been doing an amazing job of that. So in the case of a physician who would have to quarantine or be out from work, then yes, the provider's schedule is cleared or patients are shifted to other providers as we are able.
Right now, as of Wednesday afternoon, it's in terms of hospital bed use, are you pretty much full right now, or do you have any available beds if someone should need to come in?
The question often isn't so much about the beds, it's the availability of staff.
Okay.
So do we have enough staff available to take care of the needs of that individual patient? And it's truly a case-by-case basis in these last few days. We may have a bed available, but if the patient has a higher level of needs, we may not have enough staff to take care of that patient on top of the patients we already have. If it were a patient with lower level needs, then we may be able to admit them instead of transfer. We have had that situation in the past week where, you know, based on the needs of the patient, we were not able to keep them and had to look for a transfer. We had another one again today. We've had two transfers out today. At this point, our transfers are going wherever we can find a place for them. Both Rice Memorial in Willmar and St. Cloud Hospital have been extremely full for the past 2 weeks, I would say, and for the most part have been unable to accept patients outside of patients who are coming in through their own ER. So truly it is wherever we can find a bed and a facility who has a staff who can meet the patient's needs. That's the same for long-term care as well. If we have hospitalized patients who are now ready to discharge, but they need to go to a long-term care facility, we are having to transfer them to long-term care facilities, sometimes in the metro, because there are no other long-term care facilities who are accepting patients at this time. We're continuing to do our best to balance the needs of all of our types of patients, including patients coming into the clinic for just general routine medical needs, still trying to keep our surgery schedule going. But if the situation gets more dire and we are hospitalizing more patients, we undoubtedly will have to cut back some of our services. So conversations have started about, how could we do that with the least impact to our patients? Can we do more virtual visits or video visits, as an example, so we can still provide services, needed services to our patients, but perhaps in a way that's more efficient for our staff, where we can see patients more quickly but still meet their needs.
In your discussions with, say, the Minnesota Department of Health or with other facilities in the area, is there some sort of best-case scenario as far as a timeline, like when things will start to get better? Like, if we can just get through the next month, things will start to lighten up, or if we can get through the next 3 months?
I haven't heard any specific timelines. I think, the current crisis with the surge in cases is concerning. I think the light at the end of the tunnel, if you will, is to get us to a vaccine. And we know that's some months out before a vaccine is going to be able to be available to the public at large. We're, hearing plans, and there's another press release from Pfizer today on the efficacy of their vaccine. So I think we'll hear more information soon about a vaccine being rolled out. But at first, we aren't going to have enough doses for everybody. So there'll be some strategies. For instance, healthcare workers likely will be one of the first tiers or groups of people who get the vaccine.
Okay.
But that's what I believe is going to be the biggest change on the horizon to change the trajectory of COVID. We need your support. As a healthcare team, our healthcare providers, our healthcare workers are tired, are getting stretched really thin. They're getting worn out from dealing with this and the crazy high workload right now. More than cookies or hearts in a window, what we as healthcare workers need you to do is to step up and take this virus seriously and help us turn this around.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Thank you.